Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. This is God's Word. "Now when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. This message, as familiar as it is to those who know their Bibles, as familiar as it is to those of you who have been here a while, when Jesus first spoke these words, it was utterly shocking. Nobody had ever heard anything like this before. Think about the message here. Jesus is saying, blessed are the poor in spirit. What? If you're poor in spirit, that's a good thing? Blessed are those who mourn. Who mourn? Really? Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. That doesn't fit with the way that we're wired naturally. We think blessed are the strong. Blessed are the winners. We live in a culture where right now, even most of the church as an institution believes that worldly success is what makes you happy. You get a bigger thing, you get a newer thing, you get a more expensive thing, you're a winner. That's what makes you happy. We think that happiness, blessedness, is tied to worldly success, that it's based on circumstances. Guess what? Jesus says blessedness, real happiness, is not based on circumstance, it's based on character. Not on circumstance, but on character. These words, familiar to us, were jarring to the first people who heard them. And if you and I are going to hear them rightly today and not just let them sort of go over our head or bounce off or in one ear and out the elbow, as a friend of mine used to say, In other words, I think that's for you, bud. If we're going to hear this rightly, we need to let it shock us. We need to stop and consider, would you really consider yourself blessed if you were persecuted? I mean, really. Jesus says, blessed are those who are persecuted. We say, oh, how awful. We've got to do something about that. We've got to stop persecution. Let's pray for the persecuted church around the world. Let's do pray for the persecuted church around the world. And let's ask them what they want us to pray for.
Well, you don't have to ask them. I mean, obviously what they want is persecution to stop.
No, that's not even in the top five. When persecuted Christians are asked, what can we pray for specifically for you? They say, pray that our leaders will stay true to the gospel.
Oh, well, that's important. That would be a good thing to pray for. What else can we pray for?
Pray that we will lead our families well.
Well, that's good. I'll be glad to pray for that.
Pray that we will love our persecutors.
Really?
Pray for their conversion through our witness. What about praying to stop the suffering? Hey, it's temporary. What does Jesus say in the way of command in these opening verses of the Sermon on the Mount? Blessed are those who mourn, blessed are the meek, blessed are those who hunger and thirst, blessed are the merciful, blessed are the pure in heart, blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are those who are persecuted. Verse 11, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and say all kinds of evil against you. Here comes the command. Verse 12, this is the first thing we're commanded. Rejoice and be glad. Really? Yes. That is what God commands us to do. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Now, I've got to tell you something. I have not experienced a lot of persecution for righteousness' sake in my life. There's been a little here and there, not much. I would submit to you that we need to rejoice when we're persecuted, and we also, by the way, ought to rejoice that we've known so little of persecution. And we ought not to take for granted that we're going to make it through the rest of our lives without ever experiencing persecution, because the Bible promises all who would live godly in Christ Jesus must suffer persecution. That's a promise from God.
I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord.
Well, that's a good verse. Most often ripped out of context and misapplied. But it's a good verse. But let me add another scripture to that verse, I know the plans that I have for you. The plans that I have for you involve conformity to the likeness of Jesus Christ. And if you and I are going to be conformed to his likeness, we've got to know him, as Paul prays, in the power of his resurrection and in the fellowship of his sufferings, even being made conformable to his death. That's the prayer. I don't want to pray that whole prayer. Let's just pray the part about knowing him in the power of his resurrection. I want to know Christ in the power of his resurrection. Let us pray. How about, I want to know Christ in the power of his resurrection and in the fellowship of his sufferings. You want that? Do you want to know him in the fellowship of his sufferings? Because that means you're going to have to suffer. You know, part of the fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering. You only get that by suffering long. Okay? I mean, most of us would like for the fruit of the Spirit to be short-suffering, not long-suffering.
Yes, and thank God, because I have the Holy Spirit, I don't really have to suffer in this life.
Yes, you do. If you're going to be conformed to his likeness, you're going to have to go through hard times. Part of the process. You and I will not be what God intends for us to be, reflecting His glory the way that we were created and redeemed to reflect His glory, unless we go through difficulty. I made reference the other day to listening to the song as I was coming to devotions. Popular song on the radio these days. He's making diamonds. He's making diamonds out of dust. He's making diamonds out of us. So what do? When the pressure is on, He's making diamonds. Rejoice and be glad. That's a command.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. As parents and in our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a moment to encourage us. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and He's holding out His hand.
You and I are commanded by God to respond to difficult circumstances in a way that shows we are blessed with His character being formed in us. So, what is the series of promises? And this is a series of promises. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Why? Because they're poor in spirit? No, because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn. Why? Because they mourn? No, because they're going to be comforted. Blessed are the meek, because they will inherit the earth. All of these character traits, all of these situations are tied to God's promises, and God's promises are what give us joy and confidence in the midst of difficulty. The meek are going to inherit the earth. I thought it was the strong. Nope. God doesn't take delight in that. That's not what wins in the end. On the one hand, you got David. On the other hand, you got Goliath. Well, this shouldn't take long, because Goliath is so big, so strong, such a fierce and experienced warrior that he's got the whole army of Israel terrified. Now here comes a young man with no armor and no battle experience. He's killed lion, bear, you know. He says, God gave me victory over the lion. God gave me victory over the bear. He's going to give me victory over this uncircumcised Philistine. And he goes out with a slingshot. Oh, well, that's the secret right there. No, that's not the secret. The secret is the Lord. He didn't say, and with my trusty slingshot, I can bring him down. He said, the Lord will give me victory over him. And so the giant comes crashing down because of the power of the Lord using a courageous young shepherd boy and his slingshot. So why are the meek going to inherit the earth? Because God's the one divvying up the inheritance. Meek does not mean weak. It is strength under control. Moses was the meekest man on earth, but he was no wimp. To be meek means that you are surrendered. You can have a magnificent horse that is well trained. It has the power to squash its trainer, but it has the character and temperament and training that cause it to be obedient to the trainer.
That's meekness, because the horse does what it's told. The meek will inherit the earth. Who says? God says. Well, I guess that's right then. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. God willing, in a couple of weekends, I'm going to be doing a men's retreat, and one of the things we're going to talk about is hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Because godliness with contentment is great gain. But you will not be godly if you don't want to be godly. If you don't long for it, if you don't hunger for it, if you don't thirst for it, if you don't say, this is more important to me than food. Why would a person fast? Because some things are more valuable than eating. Do you long for righteousness? Do you want God to change you? Do you want Him to transform you from the inside out? Because if that's what you're longing for, you may be fasting from Facebook, but you are setting other things aside in order to pursue Him. I've got good news for anybody who's hungering and thirsting for righteousness. You're going to be filled. God promises that. You will be filled with righteousness. Righteousness that comes from Jesus Christ. Righteousness that surpasses that of the Pharisees. Perfect righteousness. His righteousness becomes yours. Blessed are the merciful. Why? Because they will be shown mercy. That's what we need. Be merciful to me, O Lord. Christ, have mercy. It's part of the liturgy in many Anglican services. Christ, have mercy. We ought to pray that way. And God's mercy is promised to those who trust in Him. Well, if you've received mercy from God, how does it manifest itself in your life? You will be merciful to others. You won't just give people what they deserve. Turning the other cheek, for example. Blessed are the pure in heart because they will see God. What a magnificent thing. To see God. Is that more valuable to you than anything else? Your relationship with Him? Knowing Him intimately? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Why? Because they're like Him. He made peace with His enemies through the cross of Jesus Christ. You and I were enemies of God because we hated the truth and resisted His ways. And instead of simply destroying us, He came, took the punishment we deserved, and offers us terms of peace if we'll surrender to Him. That's amazing, but that's what we're to be like, peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Two things there. Number one, falsely say all kinds of evil against you. If somebody's criticizing you because you're a jerk, don't think you're being persecuted for righteousness' sake. If somebody is insulting you because you perpetually have bad breath because you refuse to brush your teeth, that's not being persecuted for righteousness' sake. In one ear and out the elbow. But it says if they falsely say all kinds of evil against you, next phrase, because of me. Because of me. This is talking about persecution that we endure because of our relationship with Jesus Christ, because of people's hostility to righteousness. If that's the reason that you're being persecuted, not because of where you went to school, not because of your accent, not because of whatever it may be, but because of Jesus, if that's why you're being persecuted, then here's what you're commanded to do. Rejoice and be glad. Doesn't say you have to feel good. You can be glad when you don't feel good. Amen? So rejoice and be glad because great is your reward in heaven.
This is not all there is. This life is not what it's all about. This is a temporary time where you and I have the opportunity of being conformed to the likeness of Jesus Christ. But there is so much more awaiting us. Great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Folks, I don't know if that excites you. But frankly, I am excited about heaven. I really am.
Oh, that's because you're old.
I was excited about heaven when I was a kid, and I want you to know I talked with a preschooler this past Sunday who was excited about heaven. Has a very child's concept of what heaven is going to be like. But that child at least knew that it's going to be wonderful. Really wonderful. More wonderful than anything here. I am so blessed to live in one of the most beautiful places on earth. I've traveled a lot of places in the world. I've been to Asia. I've been to Europe. I've been to amazing places. I've been to Africa now. I've been to the Middle East. I haven't been to South America yet. One of these days, maybe. Still want to go to Australia. Still want to see New Zealand. Only seen pictures. But here's the deal. I live in one of the most beautiful places on earth. The Great Smoky Mountains is one of the most beautiful places on the planet. But there's nothing on earth that compares to what awaits us in heaven. It is going to be so much better. How do you know that? Well, for one thing, if I were to ask you, economic times liable to get tough, what are you doing to prepare? Lear Financial will sell gold straight to you. Okay? Hey, they use that for paving in heaven. Okay? Gold is so commonplace in heaven that it's used for paving. When our roads are getting a little rough, we call Blaylocks and have them send another truck full of rocks. In heaven, the roads don't get rough, but if they did, we'd ask, hey, send over another truckload of gold, spread it out around here, we're getting a little rough. It is beyond comprehension. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him.
So it's really going to be nice?
Yes.
Well, I thought it was going to be like we just kind of sit around on a cloud and play a harp, and I really find it hard to get excited about that.
Well, I would too. But that's not the picture the Bible paints. It's going to be grand. It's going to be glorious. And it's going to be ours because we are his. And that's what matters. So whatever we go through in this life, it's temporary. Okay, Pastor, you told us a lot of stuff this morning. Can you give us kind of a summary statement so that we've got something to put in our notebooks, please? Sure. True blessedness is not about circumstances. It's about character. And God rewards character. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we have much to look forward to in Christ Jesus, that it's more wonderful than we can imagine right now. We long for the day when we will see you face to face. And we thank you for your promise that the pure in heart will see God. Lord, none of us are pure in heart apart from Jesus Christ. But we thank you that those who long for righteousness, who hunger and thirst for righteousness, will be filled because of the righteousness of Jesus. Everything that we need, we find in him. And so we come in Jesus' name, asking that you would change our character, transform us from the inside out, as you renew our minds through your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.com. pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.